This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
I am in Montana in my father's painting studio, as you can see from the impressionist work behind me.
It's a gorgeous gallery of, or is that all Jim's work?
No. There's more in the garage, more in my home, and more in the homes of strangers, and perhaps in a neglected gallery.
But I meant, is all of the art those walls?
Yeah.
No.
It is. All of that. And then the stuff on the bottom is my nieces and nephews. I have one nephew.
The big one?
But the work is my nephew's. A different apostrophe S. A possessive S I added to my nephew. Not a pluralization. I have one nephew.
And it's his art.
It is his singular art.
I feel like, first of all, we're with you. And secondly, when are you going to start that grammar podcast? Because this is
I know. It's everyone's going to love it. It's interesting and fun to talk about.
And punctuation.
Welcome to Grammar Talk, period.
That painting in the middle, I would buy. That one of the signs. Is that Pike's Place in Seattle?
It is Pike's Place Market.
Yes! Yeah. I want that so bad.
I bet we could work out a deal shortly.
All right.
I could call my dad in. He'll call his art broker and all the people that he has under him.
I'll call my people.
He can't really paint anymore because a bad wrist, but the memories are here.
Are there any high school pictures of Chris Fairbanks that we could take a peek-a-poo at?
Oh, boy. Yes.
There happens to be one right in front of me. Hell yeah.
Oh, boy. This is...
Get ready. Get ready, everybody.
Yeah, it's actually pretty tame.
Yes. He's having a great time in school.
There we go. There's an angle.
Yeah.
Chris.
Look at that. Look at those.
You
khakis.
Look like look at every those. Boy on every NBC sitcom in 1991.
I'm a regular Kirk Cameron here. He has nothing on me. Look at my face. And I'm not even an evangelical Christian. I love the direction that Kirk Cameron's career took.
Yeah,
it was a real left turn. He might be a listener. Hi, Kirk. If you're out there living in his grace.
If you haven't been Armageddoned yet, and we hope you have not, welcome.
It's it's kind of fun. If those of you out there haven't taken the time to do it, just read his IMDb, because there's a lot of straight-to-video Jesus learnings hidden in those movies.
I believe the last thing I read about him was that he was very much a creationist.
Oh,
like,
and
he's old school, super Christian.
Dinosaur bones were planted to test our faith.
To test us.
Yeah.
And I'm exhausted by them. I can't take it anymore. This test needs to end.
It seems like every time I go on a hike, I stub my toe on another damn test. Another
You're
dinosaur
being tested.
Why did they hide them all throughout Montana?
You're surrounded. How is Montana? Give us the update. This from one state to many others.
I mean, I was going to give it to you, even if you hadn't asked. I left in a car. My friend from Montana, a good friend, lives in Santa Barbara. We rendezvoused, drove separately, caravan style. Drove through beautiful Las Vegas, where I did receive a speeding ticket, but she was nice. It's only 10 over instead of 20 miles over. I was cruise controlling. Suddenly, they wait right at the border where the speed limit drops, and she got me. I will take that. She is a nice lady. She liked that I pulled over at a safe spot. Then we drove up to Salt Lake City, where we slept in
Walmart. Can I ask?
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, yes.
Can I do a guess on how much that ticket's going to cost you?
Oh, I would like to know.
Oh, it's not on there?
No. It didn't say.
Oh, do you have to go to court in Nevada now?
That's what I asked. As long as I pay it, I don't have to go to court, but I bet it's a couple $100.
Oh, they're going to send you a bill?
Yeah, they sent me a ticket, and then I call and pay the surprise amount. That'll be fun. Oh.
So my guess is like somewhere around $295.
Really?
Well, because you're only going 10 miles over the speed limit. I think they adjust the rate based on how much you break the law.
And I told her this, and she didn't believe me, but it's the truth. I have not gotten a speeding ticket before in my life.
Really?
Ever. Wow. I drive
like
an old man.
Are you going to mar the perfect record of this young man?
And she did, without hesitation. I was like, you know, this might be my first ticket if you give me one. And she's like, wow, good job so far. And then she shoved it in my face. But she was nice about it. But that's kind of high. That's higher than I thought.
That's my guess.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
They really get you on those ones.
And then we camped in a Walmart parking lot. The old man who started Walmart apparently was a Good Sam's member, and all of his parking lots even come with water hookups. You don't usually notice when, and I know you frequent Walmart quite
a bit. Do not. Do not.
Well, where else are you going to get a TLC shirt? They have all kinds of nice shirts there. We went inside, so we weren't just... And then left that Mormon town and drove up to Missoula the next day. It was an easy drive. I immediately went camping. I slid down on river streams with shale rock that was like covered with moss, and you just sit on it and slide down like the Goonies into these pools. There was like four different parts of this river. It was
how
so
long
fun.
Was the slide? 6 feet? Are we talking 25 feet?
We are talking more than 25 feet. Some
no.
of them around 20. The first one was a whopping 50 footer, maybe.
For real?
Where you go under a log. So I had to lay coffin Mm-mm. style and
no.
the log went over my head.
No.
It's a very dramatic video. I will send it to you. If I put a thumping sound effect in it, it would look like we hit our heads, because at the last minute you duck down out of fear and it looks like you're flinching because you just hit your head. It's very dramatic. But it was so fun. It made me like laugh like I was 15 years old.
Were
Justin,
you screaming?
That was awesome. Try that one. Like I was.
And did you scream on the way down?
No. I played it really cool. I was like, oh, this isn't going to be that fun. And by the third or fourth slide, yeah, I was giggling like a child.
Nice. That sounds really fun, though. Was the water really cold?
It was in that river. But then the lake, which is in the mountains, like I drove up from this town of Hamilton where no one had a mask, and people were judging me because of my hair. Probably I had a mask on. They were offended by that. And then California plates. That's the trifecta. Well, you'll make someone angry in Ravalli County.
Yeah.
But in Missoula's followers.
And rightfully so.
Yeah. God, what am
all those things are gross.
Yeah, I'm spreading false fear. But then you drive up in the mountains and this lake I thought would be so cold because of course the water is coming from melted snow, but it was it was like our ocean that we have.
Our ocean, the one we bought year two of this podcast.
I didn't want to let people know about that, but Karen pulled and I pulled together. We bought some coastline right near Catalina.
We had $30 billion laying around, so we bought some California coastline.
Hey, if I'm not going to stop going to the beach. If I have to buy some beach so I can go there and play Frisbee with my pals from a distance, that's what I'll
with
do.
My pals from Pepperdine, that's yeah. what I'm going to do. All of that area, like, have you ever driven and then kind of ended up in that, like, Starbucks in Malibu? It's the most... If you're so close to Los Angeles, it's not like you're far away at all. And the vibe is so intentionally different.
Yeah.
And creepy, presentational rich people. The coolest thing you can do is play it down.
Yeah.
Right?
And they don't.
Make it a fun surprise for later. You don't have to wear a big, weird diamond necklace.
No, they shove
Just
it right
chill
in your
out.
Face. Yeah.
Have it be a reveal.
Yeah, realize that you have an equestrian store where you buy horse feed right next to a Gucci store. What kind of a person are you? And you always hear about Malibu. I wasn't expecting what looks like horse country.
Yep.
And then the rich people just live in a sectioned off area, I guess, or on the side of that mountain. But yeah, you see.
Or right down on that water.
Yeah, yeah. It is underwhelming, so I guess.
It's not that it, yeah, it's not what you think, or it's not what I made up in my head, I guess.
Yeah.
But then you camped at that lake that was not freezing?
Yeah, it was the best. There's a campground, and my friends went up early, and there was two spots, and we had fire. We got bit by a lot of mosquitoes, and that was the only bad part. I chopped wood. We gathered wood. We went down to buy a hatchet from a hardware store.
From a troll under a bridge.
Yes, I said these riddles three. He presented me with a hatchet and a key to the gnome city. And it did feel like that, though. It just felt like a magical gnome land. It was great.
Because of trees?
Little trees, little flowers. I grew up around it. And of course I took it for granted. And then now I'm back up there and it made me turn to a 15-year-old. I had so much fun camping.
We used to camp in the Redwood Forest, which is so crazy, dramatic, ancient. Like we really had it nice in Northern California.
Did you ever drive through that giant Redwood?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm going to go down through there on the way back.
It's totally worth it. It's the coolest stretch of land. And then there's a Bigfoot element that I really appreciate.
Yeah. You've always been a Bigfoot hunter.
I believe.
These aren't the tracks of a bear.
This isn't a drunk man's prank from 1972 at all.
Every last words from someone who dies from a bear or a drunk man prank. This is Bigfoot. Certainly
Wait
not a
second.
Certainly not the drunk man that's lurking behind me. When I showed
selling hatchets over by the road.
The hatchets, I took a picture of the hatchet that we bought. I took a picture of the campsite, and all the murderino comments were telling me to get the hell out of that forest. Please, for the love of God.
Did you guys do any hatchet throwing? I would imagine if you got drunk enough, you'd want to throw it at a tree.
Well, how dare you? Of course we did get drunk, but no, we reserved that for the BB guns we shot at... pyramids of cans of
yes.
seltzer and beer. Yeah. So we had three BB guns on hand. I don't have any friends that have hunted. So they are all BB gun owners, though. And
sure,
they're registered, licensed Daisy pump rifles. But we had so much fun by that fire. It was just.
Now, how could you be sure that you were shooting in a safe direction?
I thought you were going to be, how can you be sure you were having fun? Being that you haven't been around people and don't know what to compare it to.
In anything is fun.
Everyone was responsible. We picked the direction we were going to shoot, and then I did a little road scouting where I went down and made sure there was nothing behind that backdrop. But it did.
Oh, good.
Once the slingshot came out and we were actually shooting rocks, which go quite a bit further and more dangerous than a BB gun, that's when I really checked the surrounding area. Our neighbors, it was mostly people up there that were running away from California or other states because Montana's numbers are pretty low.
Yeah.
And I got a test right when I got here. And I got the results the next day. I'm still negative.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Every time I do it, it's just for bragging rights. I'm negative. Yeah. But I've had a great time so far.
That's great. Well, and how long are you going to stay? Till Christmas?
I know. The last week has whizzed by so fast that I feel like I might stay more than 2 weeks.
Totally.
I don't think I will allow myself to stay here past August. I'm putting a cap on August 20 something. And then
I stayed when I went up to visit my sister. I stayed for a month. I was just like, why leave? It's like low numbers, chill. Everyone's wearing masks.
You're right. Yeah. And my sweet neighbor is looking after my plants. I have nothing at home depending on me. Certainly not a career, just a fern and a garzalea. I can't remember what it's called, but I have two plants that are
being. It's not a garzalea. Love
it's
for
a
sure.
Griselda, and it's it's very green. The thing about my Giralia is
it affects my joints.
Yeah, my Giralia.
I have really bad Giralia.
Oh, the anti-inflammatory diet isn't helping. And then I hold up my hand and it's made of leaves. Have you ever seen this before?
Leaf That's an
fingers?
Extreme case.
Yeah, my Giralia is really growing.
Ow, my Giralia.
My Giralia.
Now, on your caravan drive out, did at any point you and your friend ever call each other and then just talk on the phone while you were driving?
Karen, we had CB radios.
What?
Well,
you buried the lead. Why wouldn't that be the first thing out of your mouth before you say,
it's been so long since I've used a walkie-talkie that I forgot they're not called a CB radio. We had...
Oh, you weren't on the on your back door?
That would require buying an out-of-day... I would have to buy it in a truck stop. And then you got to pick a channel.
You got to get a license.
You have to be licensed.
You have to get your radio license.
And you want the BB gun to go with this, right? When I was a kid in high school, it's so funny. It's such an experience, I think, that most, maybe it was like this when you were in high school, but all the guys with trucks had a CB radio just to say, hey, we're eating at Little Caesars or there's another fight today. Everyone has to go watch this fight, and you'd hear it from a CB radio. So for a while, I was thinking about putting a CB radio in my Ford Escort wagon. But I didn't. I realized I didn't want to go to those fights.
You didn't want to be tapped into the hotline, the fight hotline?
It's so funny. And then we'd talk to truckers. That was like a fun thing to do.
That's dangerous.
Yeah. Well, if you speak in their language, like, hey, I got a smoky on your Taylor. I got
do you smoky. Like Taylor Swift?
See, they would have seen right through me once you mentioned the sewing of clothes or... a music artist that wasn't born yet. They would, what else do you say? You got Smokey.
To truckers.
Over and out. Roger that.
There's a big brown bear on your back door.
Oh, is that another? That's when
I came up during the convoy. There was a real trucker kind of trend that happened. It was after 1976, I would say, because that was all about the bicentennial. When that kind of died down, this trucker trend started. And it was all that. Remember the movie Convoy?
I remember the song.
Cross country, big rig truckers like racing each other, I think, or they were trying to outrun the police. It was such a weird trend.
Yeah. And all the movies that came out of just that, there's that subculture, like Smokey and the Bandit or Cannonball Run. It was all like, if we're going to be outlaws, we're going to do it on the road, and we have to have truckers out there letting us know when there's a big brown bear on our tail.
Or the Any Which Way But Loose, the Clint Eastwood orangutan movie that was also a trucker plot line.
As far as I know, the guy that he fights at the end, in because that took place in Carmel and my dad was down there going to art school. As far as I know, there's a character in there based on his uncle who was a bar bouncer that did bare knuckle fighting. We can ask.
Whose uncle?
My father's. And the character's name is Jim, and this guy's name is Jim. So maybe it's.
Wow.
Yeah.
For a second, I thought you meant Clint Eastwood's uncle, which would make sense because he's a little bit closer to the project. But that's a better story because it's your dad's uncle.
Clint Eastwood was the mayor of the town. My dad was a radio DJ, so he knew him.
Have you seen Play Misty for Me? The wonderful film?
He played a DJ in that, and so he watched my dad work.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So
you've told me the story. Sorry, I forgot.
But that's like an early version of Fatal Attraction. It's like,
creepier, I think. It's like, we've talked about all this. God damn it.
Isn't that, no, I don't know if we talked about that. Wasn't the woman in that the one that died on the boat where Robert Wagner...
No, that's Natalie Wood. The woman in that is Jessica Walter, the killer, and she's the mom from Arrested Development.
Okay, I knew. Yeah.
That's called range. God. She can do it all.
Yeah, she just got older and really funny. She's great.
Yeah, she's a badass.
Yeah.
She's so good in Play Misty for Me. It's unbelievable.
I need to see it. It's been since I was a little kid.
Well, and also it's very 70s. We've had this conversation, but it's very 70s. So like all the shots and everything, it's very like my early memories. It was such a weird time.
Yeah. I watched
but Carmel that. Is so beautiful.
And yeah, and that's the reason we watched Seems Like Old Times with Chevy Chase when he was funny and Goldie Hawn. It was like driving around our neighborhood that I didn't remember because I was a baby.
You were just a baby. Have you seen Foul Play? Chevy Chase and Goldie Hawn reunited.
Yes.
In San Francisco.
Are they linked? Those movies are like the same characters?
No.
Oh.
I just meant the actors.
Yeah.
Wanting to work together again because the chemistry was so good.
Was Charles Grodin in those movies?
No. It was Chevy Chase. It was Goldie Hawn. There was a man who played an albino. Dudley Moore played the comic relief.
Yes. Were there little people?
Burgess Meredith. Yes, there was one. There's a part that, yes, to Bible salesman, it was, what's that guy's name? He's the most, one of the most famous because he was also in The Wizard of Oz. Billy Barty.
How the hell? Billy Barty. You just pulled that out of nowhere.
I wish I could do a fucking metal Grover scream right now to go, fuck yeah.
Is that it? That's
no, it's
metal.
The you know the ones that's like where they're just screaming or like
you know who's in it. No, who's in a
that
band?
That's really upsetting.
There's a kid from is that show Atypical or it's Typical?
Atypical, yeah.
Atypical. That child in that show is in a screamcore band, and it's really funny to look it up on YouTube.
That's
He's
great.
And it's a little cute boy.
Chris, you have a new impression. Goodbye, reggae character forever.
Yeah.
That's your new. trying to write more because times are so hard, even though he's still in his death metal, black metal, scream metal band. I don't know what it's actually called, but he now is trying to be a little bit inspiring. What do you think that would sound like, Chris?
If he was like, there we go.
That's that was the moment he changes over.
Yeah, it takes place in a split second, and all of a sudden his dreadlocks aren't Irie; they're more like dreadlocks from Korn.
Yes. Corn locks.
Did you know the band Korn invented cornrows on a white person, Karen?
At the Texas State Fair?
Yeah, yeah. They played right next to the rodeo pit.
On the Carnival Cruise Line 1982 special?
Oh, God. I want to go on one of those Korn cruises. You know there is one.
You know there is.
There's a 311 one. There's a 311. Mm-hmm. Amber is color.
I don't think anymore, though, right? Because don't you automatically die on a cruise ship now?
Yeah, yeah. Or they let you board it and then they park it offshore for many months and you get used to knowing the people at table 7.
You're just every night for dinner. It's bags of peanuts, bags of peanuts. Ugh.
Well, I've made this episode all about me.
Well, but you're the one doing something. I have nothing to report.
You've got to have something, Karen.
Okay, let me dig into my files.
Did you get a mysterious package? Have you had any fun talks?
Did you send me a package?
Did you happen to get any flowers, Karen? Do you have any stories about flowers coming right now?
Oh my God! Hatchet, the man with the hatchet.
Deliver flowers. What if I was that quick? It's an FTP, their grindcore division.
Yes. Let's hear that commercial.
Do you have a loved one? Let her know that the cleansing rain is coming with a bouquet of gardenias.
Yes, call back.
Yeah, you got it. That's the key
to
my...
You still got it.
I do have it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know it until I'm around a campfire with my friends, because everyone that knows me, it's hard to make them laugh because most of them also do it professionally. But me and my friends, we laughed and they make me laugh. We laughed so hard. And you don't get that when you're at home alone.
No, you don't. In the least.
Yeah.
No.
And I appreciate that people listen to our podcast and say, all of a sudden I'm laughing. And I'm like, oh, what's that like? But man, hang out with me and my friends, just ridiculous campfire songs, just making stuff up, shooting each other with BB guns.
Yes.
Nowhere near the face, just in the legs or the buttocks. Just so much fun. It makes you laugh so hard that it hurts at first. But then it's just a fun reminder. That welt on your butt is a reminder.
Yes.
That you had a good time with your friends camping.
It's an important... You don't want to get a tattoo and it's not convenient to bring a tattooing kit.
Yeah.
The BB is the second best choice.
I do have a mark on my inner thigh from a BB at my friend Ross's wedding. And it is still there. So it's a lot like a tattoo.
When did he get married?
Oh, this tattoo, this BB mark is, I think, 5 years old.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You could sue him. As the groom, was he the one shooting the BB gun?
There's been so many lawsuits from that wedding. All the bridesmaids, all of them got shot with BB guns. No, I was the only one. There's a little subculture at that wedding.
Underground?
Yeah, yeah.
Wedding underground? Cool.
Every good wedding has a subculture.
Yeah.
And this was nowhere near the actual citizens. We had all of the drunk guys in one cabin shooting each other with BB guns. But we clean up nice and we were good in the wedding.
I mean, thanks so much for doing the bare minimum.
I try to do the least. You're welcome.
Now, what would it sound like if the death metal guy went to that wedding?
I just want to say, this is my best friend, and I promised myself I wouldn't cry. Boo hoo! It's hard to cry, but that's what it sounds like. That's how a metal guy cries. Sorry.
Now, isn't that the Limp Bizkit sound?
Yeah, but the cry is the same. It's actually
disturbed.
I
think the metal people will like that crossover.
Yeah, don't you? Trust me. It was Karen, not me, that disturbed Limp Bizkit. Limp Bizkit and Disturbed. Two totally different bands with different genres.
And now watch as I destroy System of a Down.
How dare you say that they are
anything that they only play at Foot Locker. It's not true.
They are. Yeah, I actually kind of like a System of a Down.
They're heavy.
Yeah, they are. It reminds me of Faith No More, which is one of my favorites. Ugh. I have my little dark subculture of music, Karen.
Now, I can't remember if I've bragged about my Mike Patton story. Have I ever?
No, I would have.
When I was...
I love you him. Would've... Go carry on.
Okay. I'll tell it really fast. When I was in high school, a senior in high school, Mr. Bungle came and played in Petaluma because there's a band called Firehouse or Firehose.
Firehose.
And their equipment got stolen. So that was like a fundraiser. And Mr. Bungle headlined. And we went because my friend Patty was going out with a guy who was from the public high school, and he was really edgy and cool. Uh-huh. And so we were like, yeah, let's all... And we had no idea what these bands were like at all. We were just kind of trying to be cool. And it was really fun and cool. But then Mr. Bungle came out, and they were so amazing. And Mike Patton is the most beautiful human being on the planet. Like, he is just perfectly faced, and his whole setup is just fucking spot on.
He had long hair back then, right?
Yes. Yeah. He was like, yeah, it was like better. That's mean comparison. He was just the best. Yeah. You don't have to do it that way.
A better version of who?
All the hottest goss about late 80s punk bands. But at one point during this concert, he was singing something, and then it was like the bridge or whatever. And then he just turned and looked straight at me. It wasn't like the hugest room or whatever. And we were just staring at each other for a second. I was like, well, this is now my favorite band of all time. Like, I had a moment, and I'm sure that he was just like probably high and just staring around at people. It wasn't like a thing, but yeah. It was so exciting. And I've always loved Mr. Bungle ever since.
I always did too.
And of course, Faith No More.
That first, I loved, and Mr. Bungle's from the Bay Area. So that's why your friend was pals with him. And I.
NorCal,
man. Jacked up trucks and big black socks all the way up to your knee, bro.
And that's right, man.
I know how to chop down a tree. I know how to surf, and I know how to fight, but I don't know long division.
The brim of my hat is the flattest.
Yeah, it is the stiffest and the flattest.
They wear the flattest hats. All right.
I do too sometimes, but it's a skater style, not NorCal.
Okay.
There's a jazz, like frenetic jazz, like Zydeco. I don't know what it is, but this guy, John Zorn, made all the horns and the weird side of Mr. Bungle from that first album. And I was so into it that I drew Mr. Bungle and clowns and devil stuff on my notebooks because it was in the music. But my mom listened to it, and she's like, oh, this sounds cool. Like, you know, cool,
it was
mom.
Good times.
But they just scream 666, and she's like, ooh, edgy. You think that scares me, you little shit? Clean your room.
But, cat food, tuna casserole coming up.
So then I got into Faith No More, and he's such a good singer. Did you know he, like Mariah Carey, has 7 octaves?
Does he really? He is the best singer.
His voice can do anything, and his voice, know what else it did? All the monsters in I Am Legend, that Will Smith movie where it's the end of the world, and when it gets dark, all the like...
That's our Mike
all
Patton?
All layers of Mike Patton. I saw it in the credits. It said monsters, Mike Patton.
That's amazing.
He does like voice work. What can't
he knows
he
the shit. He's just the best. Doesn't he still have long hair?
No, it's short now. I saw them actually. There's a band called Dead Cross, I think, that is him and a guy from Melvins or Misfits or whatever. It's like a super group, I guess. And I was very excited. I rarely go to concerts, and I got a ticket. And then all of a sudden, you know, the show's 20 minutes late. Tons of parents with their kids there with giant earphones, like, so their ears don't get damaged. There was so many kids at this concert because, I don't know, the crowd didn't want to get a sitter. And they came out, all the guys in the band came out, and they were, like, really serious looking. And they're like, Mike couldn't make it tonight. Like, it seemed like they're about to cry, and everyone's like, oh, my God, this is either a prank or Mike Patton just died. Because they said he had an accident. We're sorry. We will still have a show tomorrow, hopefully. So they maybe didn't even say that. Everyone thought he had died. But yeah. He was skateboarding to the show. He's in his 50s. And fell and hit his head and cut his head open. So I went the next night. And it was Mike Patton. Yeah, with short hair and a big Band-Aid on his forehead.
Yes.
Because he had to get stitches because he was skateboarding to the show. How cool is that, Karen?
Of course. He's the realest of deals.
He is.
He is.
He skated to his Hollywood concert.
Have you ever seen that clip of him and he's backstage at some like Monsters of Rock style festival thing? You've seen that thing where, and Wolf Mother is playing?
He's like, it's in the middle of answering a question. Well, the thing, what the hell is
what
this
the
crap?
Fuck is this?
Could someone tell them what decade it is? God, it's garbage. I remember seeing that and I'm like, oh no. But I agreed. They were like, woman, you need a woman. You gotta say woman. And he's like, what is this, 70s? And I know you know that they saw that and that's what ended that band. They wanted Mike's approval. They never got it.
Yeah, you better get it because it's all that matters.
It is.
Who else do I know that loves Mike Patton so much? We have talked about him nonstop.
There's definitely fans of this show that have shared Mike Patton stuff with me. They're out there, Karen.
I mean, we've probably had this conversation two
swear
other
we
times.
Haven't? No, and I had never heard the other thing you said. Well, I already forgot what it is, so that kind of blows my cover.
Meaning the meaningful eye contact story that is not a story at all. I think you stared at me because my mouth was open. I think I was staring up like, what? Who is this? I didn't know guys could look like this.
I always heard rumors that he's maybe hard to be around. I don't care. Because, yeah, during this show, the next night when they did have a concert, he brought one of those kids on stage and was singing the most sounding song because it is that kind of band. This band is like a harder band than Faith No More. And there's a sweet little kid and he would like gave the mic to the kid and then the kid screamed and it was part of the song and it was the cutest kid ever. Who was
How
on stage
old?
For a whole song and he made this Aww. Kid sing and the kid was like way into it. There's a lot of people in LA that were maybe at that show that remember that, but it was so great.
How Little old? Kid. 3 years old? Four?
Four or five. Yeah.
For real?
Yeah. Oh. Little kid. Not 11, Ow. Not 10. I'm not real good at, I'm no younger than, younger than nine. I'm just going to say that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Could be four, could be nine.
I worked at a daycare. I didn't pay attention. They were all just numbers that I had to keep track of, made sure they didn't run into the street when I worked
Beautiful.
At a daycare.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Father wanted to meet you.
Get him in here.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi.
I just want to compliment you two on the how well you I can't hear.
Oh,
how well you do.
Oh,
how well you do good this.
Oh, we do good this well.
We do. Thank
here,
you.
I'll do it.
I was just going to say that's a big compliment coming from you because we know you're a professional. You know how this stuff's actually done.
Oh yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah. No, I just the vibe that you two have with one another is impressive. It really is.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Dad.
And I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank you. Me, not Chris.
Chris, I've grown to like over the years.
Yeah, I'm really growing on him. It's going to blossom into a full relationship soon.
Yes. Keep it up. So how's everything in Montana, Jim?
It's hot.
For you.
It's hot here, but everything is good. Yeah.
Good, good.
Yeah. And the virus hasn't ravaged Montana.
Thank God.
But it's getting worse because we have people that know better.
Yep.
And don't mask up. And this affinity for bars. Huh?
I
miss going to a restaurant once in a while, but the bar thing?
They're asking for it.
Yeah.
It's not smart. It's not smart.
Bars are a big deal in Montana.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
But bars are causing problems everywhere.
Yeah.
That's foolishness.
Even in my neighborhood, when everything was closed, there was one bar that was like, nope, we're gonna open up.
They're gonna power through.
Yeah. And I would walk by and glare at them and I think they got the picture.
Where are you specifically, Karen? Well, not specifically I don't mean the address. What town are you in?
I'm in the valley. It's a good place to quarantine.
Yeah,
I'm grateful.
Swimming a pool that she swims in.
But you're by yourself, right?
Yeah.
Well,
I have two dogs that that's bad. I know we were just talking about it. I went home and visited my family for a month because I didn't realize till I got there what a weird adjustment I had made to being by myself for 3 months. Cause then I was around people and it was like, you know, like you're kind of like weirdly excited about nothing. And you're like, so everything seems hilarious and like the best thing that's ever happened.
Crazy. That's what camping felt like. It was like, what is this new drug?
Yeah.
Friendship.
Real. Other people.
Yeah. She talks to two dogs and I talk to two plants. I don't know which is lonelier.
and the only other option is being with another person and hoping that's going well.
Yeah. That
Good
is
luck.
The other end of it. I know a lot of people that maybe are going to get a divorce after this.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it asks a lot
again?
Of people. Yeah. So it's stressful. It wouldn't be easy, I don't think. That idea of there's just that one person's like telling you the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
Eating the same thing, ordering the same thing on Postmates. Yeah.
And then your kid, who would maybe sometimes be at school, is just...
I had so many stories throughout their young lives that all of my children started numbering them. Right? Oh, isn't that number 7?
Mm-hmm.
Having to do with being near the water? Yeah, I recall that.
It's the biggest problem with this podcast is... We, Karen and I, have run out of stories. We just repeated number 53.
Yeah, for real. We're bad.
It's hard.
We're irresponsible about it.
Well, no one else is confronted by it. You know, there's never a time where you're like, you have to lay down all your stories and see how many you have. And that's what our job is. And I have to make stuff up now. I didn't go camping.
Real. That's all a lie?
It's all a lie.
Chris, it was you delivered it so beautifully.
I know.
So believable.
Yeah, I'm not even in Montana. This is a hologram that my hand goes through.
I remember being on the radio and talking about skiing in Montana. I think I was in Monterey. And it was a pretty primitive ski resort to... one of the lifts just had a donkey and you grab the rope. And the guy, somebody called up and he said, you told that 2 years ago. So I haven't repeated myself once in 2 years and you're complaining?
Yeah.
Jesus,
ease up.
Yeah. Ease up. You're
this
the
is
one
who's hard. I mean, this is 4 hours a day I'm talking.
For real. You got to fill that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, we reuse jokes all the time.
Of course.
All the time.
You have to do it.
Someone made a board game, like a tic-tac-toe sheet, bingo sheet, that had the most repeated jokes on it.
It's
and
so
I'm
embarrassing.
Afraid it was mostly things that I...
lines that have stood the test of time.
Yeah.
Well... yeah.
Yeah. The free space was turtle eye contact. And it's okay that I can repeat that, but actual statements that I've said over and over.
Yeah.
You didn't have a lot of repeats. I think you have a stronger brain.
Thanks, Chris. I try to keep it fresh. I don't rely on my old go-tos like you do.
Yeah.
Always thinking. Are you kidding me? I literally told two stories in a row that I've told like three times before.
See, now that it's happened so long, I think there's a paranoia that makes you think you've said everything before.
Everything starts to sound familiar as you're saying it.
This is a pretty good story that I'm about to tell. That means, of course, I've told it before. We have no faith in ourselves.
It's even harder now, though, in quarantine, because, yeah, like you said, it's like I don't have anything to talk about except for the kitchen or Netflix, basically. Yeah. It's a dry time for chit-chat topics, right? It's tough.
You got to go camping, Karen.
You really? Got to lie and say you're going to go camping.
You
really? I never like camping.
We camped throughout all of my youth. And now I find out my dad hated every minute of it.
Every minute. I'm not an easy relaxer. You know, once I made the fire, put up the tent, Jesus, what's there to do?
I do remember you pacing around the campsite a lot.
Somebody get something dirty.
Oh, look, he's whittling again.
Or you wake up in that tent in the morning. And it's freezing cold, but yet it was hot all night.
Yeah.
You feel like you've been dipped in honey.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, do I have to go to the bathroom, man. How far away is that thing, that stinky thing? Gosh, this is good. This is good times.
I just went through all of it, and it was great. And the tent, even, I'd have to wake up several times in the night because of my advanced age. And the tent I was in was so cheap that the zipper would get stuck. So someone just heard me at 3 a.m., 5 a.m., 7 a.m., going, God damn it! I'm just yelling at the tent in the middle
trapped
of the
inside.
Night.
That'd be bad.
Yeah.
The age thing comes into play as you start adding them up, as I have. and you start to purchase something. Like I was going to buy shingles for the roof, and the guy said, you want a 30-year shingle or a 40-year shingle? Let's see, I'm 76. Do I want to be climbing back up here at 106? Or
yeah, that's the joke I always retell of my dad is he always turned down the giant mustard at Costco because he didn't want it to be the last mustard.
You don't want to buy the last.
Yeah, to die and there to be leftover mustard.
Tabasco that's a 14-inch bottle.
He leaves his children with 7 ounces of French's yellow and some Tabasco.
You know what Menon body talc is? Have you ever seen that?
By Menon.
By Menon.
Yeah, there's a thing upstairs that was my dad's that has to be 50 years old.
And I put it on myself. I'm not going to say where, but I didn't know that it was an heirloom.
Right.
Did you know I used it?
I don't care if you use it. I just can't throw it away because it was his.
Well, I just don't know if I should be putting expired talc on my nether regions.
No, I would not. Right. I would not. Just in general, I would not.
He put it on his face. He'd shave and then use some aqua valva stuff. And then he'd put this powder in his hands and get that sheen. I never got it.
Yeah.
But he was too scary to ask why. None of my business.
Keep a low profile with that guy.
Why are you doing this?
See, yeah. Speaking of truckers, we were talking about truckers. Dad's dad was a trucker.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Long haul or short?
Short.
Short.
Short. Yeah, he came home every night.
God, I thought I was making something up.
And he would pick me up, and like I'd come home visiting, as you are, and he'd say, well, let's go out and drive, and I get to drive that damn thing. But he'd have to...
Ooh.
Yeah, he'd have to make out a driver trainee holder and in case somebody stopped us, right?
Oh, right.
Because I didn't have a Teamsters license.
I keep finding out.
To be able to drive a truck, it was a gas tanker, two trailers, two 8,000-gallon trailers, I think. That was fun. It's like you're driving a couch down the road.
Yeah.
Because the other door is way over there. And those mirrors, you're looking back in those mirrors, and I could squash you like a bug.
Yeah, really.
Power.
Yeah.
It was serious power.
Yeah.
So that's another way. I thought you'd never broken a law, and here I'm finding about this illegal truck driving operation.
You found out I was in jail the other night.
Yeah, I didn't know my dad had been locked up before.
Why?
A curfew violation. I was 12 years old. I was 12 years old.
The bad stuff, huh? Dark time?
Yeah. this time of year, and a pal and I were sleeping in his backyard, and of course, it's midnight. Let's walk around the neighborhood. And some cops saw us and started chasing. Well, I thought, this guy can't catch me. But I ran between two houses, and there was a tall fence, and I was done. And they took me in, put me in the car, and took me in, and started the threatening dialogue and
interrogation.
Yeah, said, okay, give us your parents' name, and you're going to call my father? No, that ain't happening. He gets up in 3 hours. You're not calling him. And they said, well, we'll put you in jail. And I said, I'm sure that'll be unpleasant, but you're not calling my dad. Finally, my buddy ratted me out.
Oh,
and
nice.
My dad came down. He was a large man, very stoic. You never knew where you stood much. And
he was intimidating, yeah.
Yeah.
Powdery.
He said,
powdery.
Walked in, put his hand, that huge hand on my shoulder, and said, this one's mine. Oh, shit. And we walked out, and he said, is that the policeman that caught you? And I said, yeah. You couldn't outrun him. That was it.
He wasn't that mad?
Never discussed again.
Nice.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, and then you knew it was going to be all right.
Yeah.
There's a scene like that in Christmas Story, and I don't think I have the brain power to remember it. But he thought
The BB gun.
The BB gun.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah. He thought he was going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, he just fell on an icicle. I hear the Bears are playing tomorrow. And he was like, oh.
And then that was the fist fight.
Oh, yeah. Too. Something like that. Yes. We watch Christmas Story every year here.
Yeah,
it's a tradition.
It is my life. It's exactly my age. Same wallpaper. Same chenille bedspread.
Me and my brother shared
a bed.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
When you go home for Christmas, do you guys have movies that you have to watch?
We totally watch A Christmas Story. There's some channel, and maybe it's what you guys do too, that plays it all day long.
Oh yeah.
So we just leave it on that channel, and then as people are like cooking and walking through the room or whatever, you just like sometimes turn it up, sometimes you turn it down, but we watch it all day.
Yeah, out of order, and then you have to assemble it in your head like a Christopher Nolan movie.
It's the best movie, though. It really is, like, the story and those kids, everything about it is the best.
Everything
it's like so watchable.
Up. Yeah.
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 Totally.
Other movies.
And my dad loves it because he used to listen to those radio shows. So he was like Little Orphan Annie and the, you know, I guess Lone Ranger, right?
Yeah.
Right. Lone Ranger and Dick West.
Yeah.
And they used to have cereals. You'd go to the movie theater and you'd walk in and you'd have your 15 cents. You get a piece of taffy, and they were pulling they had a machine that did that thing to the taffy, and they put it on a piece of waxed paper. Real legit.
And bring it into a dirty movie theater?
That's right. And you pop, and so you'd get Movie Tone News. There was no television. This was 1948, 49.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a whole lot of television early in the day, and nothing you wanted to see in the daytime anyway. I think we got our first TV set and turned it on, and the conventions were on. I think it must have been 52 or 50.
Oh, boy. Every kid loves a convention.
Political convention? What?
What is this?
Wow. And then you put taffy in your mouth that had a bunch of hair on it.
Yeah.
I can't get over this theater taffy.
So they had news in a 5-minute section played between movies and 3 or 4 cartoons and serials that were 15 minutes long that was a cliffhanger.
Yep.
Continuing story. Bunch of about eight guys in ill-fitting suits and hats in fist fights inside a warehouse. That was a big scene. You always saw that.
Was Tom Mix one of those serials?
Tom Mix was a serious cowboy. He was kind of a tough guy. He was a real serious guy.
Does your dad like Tom Mix?
No. One of the first jobs I got in LA was doing coverage. Somebody was trying to bring back the Tom Mix series, but I had to read the original scripts to like explain what the plots of each thing were. And all I remember is the name and general kind of cowboyness, but it was like, cause they had been these kind of cliffhangery serials that they were like, they could actually repurpose them for like, and remake them today the way they did with like Perry Mason.
Sure.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis and James Garner made a movie called Sunset or something.
Skyhawk like or Nighthawk.
No, it was Sunset.
Sunset.
It was about
it was Sunset.
Bruce Willis was Tom Mix, and Garner was Wyatt Earp, who lived into 1925 or so, you know, before he died somewhere in there. And it was interesting. Those two guys, Wyatt Earp was investigating something. I think there was at least 15% of it that was true.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun.
Speaking of truth, we just were talking about Any Which Way But Loose. Wasn't there a guy in it that was based on your Uncle Jim?
My Uncle Jack was very much like
Jack.
Yeah. And there was a guy in there named Jack Wilson, I think.
Yeah.
An actor whose name escapes me right now, but it'll come to me in 20 minutes. That's what happens later on in life, folks.
Yeah, yeah. You can't remember.
The old delay.
What is this story that everyone's heard before, but I can't remember?
Yeah, where they used to bet on fistfights. Yeah. Those were the good old days.
And one time...
Yeah.
Everybody go down to the lake. We're going to bet on a fist fight.
And people always made my dad kick people out because they knew...
Oh, yeah. I worked in a bar in Coronado.
Mm.
And for the longest time, I was confused. Why am I throwing everybody out? And because the both of the owners were big guys. And... one day I asked, I said, Jesus, some of these guys are kind of tough. They've taken swings at me. And he said, well, I'll show you. Some guy came in. What's his name? Hey, a scary guy came in.
Let's call him Greg.
Yeah, let's call him Bobby.
Bobby Greg.
And he said, would you show him out? And I said, there's no way in the world I'm doing anything with this guy. He'll pull my arms out. And he said, watch this. He said, this is Jack Wilson's nephew. He's going to show you to your car. Do what you got to do. And he kind of stood up straight and we walked out.
Yeah, and then that guy drove home drunk. It's the end of a perfect story.
Ran over my foot.
On the way out. Yeah. I love it. You had the reputation. Like you were untouchable because of your uncle.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Nice. Yeah.
Should we have this podcast have so many sections that we listen to some questions now?
Absolutely.
Let's do it all. And if you have an answer, have a seat, Father
of
mine.
Yes, jump in.
All right.
People send questions in there.
Jim, that's Steven. Did you guys meet already?
That's our friend.
Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet. That's an answer.
That's from Wheel of Fortune. I remember there was like an S and someone guessed that.
Who's the guy with hair like yours?
That's Steven.
Hi, Steven.
Hi.
Yeah, he has a mustache, too. Like,
I'm
we pretty
kind of
much are.
Now, yeah.
I just realized we're kind of twins.
Kind of.
All right. The first question is from Dorcas Malorcas. Most regrettable summer fashion choice from the past?
Oof.
Oh, you might have a good... I can think of a few my dad had.
Well, I had those pants that were all... bright flowers and the dude shoes.
Oh, yeah,
those stick out.
The dude shoes
that were very much like they were saddle Oxfords with a heel that was about 4 or 5 inches.
Yeah.
You remember Pee Wee Herman dancing on a bar?
Oh, yeah. Those
yes.
similar shoes to that.
Yeah.
What was
so
that?
I had those, and damn it, I
19,
wore, I
would
wore
you say?
Out.
Yeah, what year is that?
70? Was that 70?
That would be, yeah, 1970.
Mm-hmm.
Karen?
This serious fashion back then. The very first thing that popped into my head was eighth grade. We went on a field trip to Marriott's Great America, the theme park, and me and my friend Holly Gardner wore matching white and purple striped rompers. So they were like, it was like a onesie with shorts that looked like a skirt.
The bib kind of thing.
Yeah. It was very early 80s, you know, very pastel-y, but it was also, you had to take it entirely off to go to the bathroom because it was like one big thing, which was very creepy at a theme park public bathroom to have to basically strip down. And I just remember being intensely uncomfortable all day long. It was a bad choice. Mm. I had a lot of kind of like pale leg showing. Like, I didn't think it through. It was one of those like junior high choices that you make and then later regret for the rest of your life.
Oddly, though, those rompers, what you just described, has fully come back into fashion.
They haven't. In fact, I just remembered my friend Holly Gardner sent me a picture, so I can actually post a picture of the romper.
Oh,
I'm
that's
talking
great.
About.
Yeah. And everyone will say, I would wear that now.
Yeah. It's absolutely something that would be for sale at Urban Outfitters or whatever.
And this is my outfit. I know I've talked about this, but you said eighth grade and you also said amusement park. When I was at the Western Montana Fair, all excited to be friends with Ross and Andy, I wore my best, those Bermuda shorts that went to my shins, a yellow button up, red suspenders, and I'd curly that mullet. And the lady that cut our hair put steps in the side. So I had steps shaved in the side, curly mullet, and we got on the teacups, and I know I'm not a spinner. Not the term a lot of people. And and I knew I was going to throw up, and I threw up on that outfit. A little bit of it got on Ross and Andy, my new friends. And I think right then, this girl Casey that I was kind of seeing that was seventh grade. She broke up with me because I threw up. It was the worst outfit choice I've ever made. Yeah.
So sad. Sorry, I'm laughing that
hard.
You
know, every year, Christopher would submit something in the art show at the county fair. And he won the blue ribbon every year.
Is that true?
For children.
Yeah.
Artistic stuff. One year, and I helped a little maybe from time to time. We made an army. You remember that army scene?
Yeah.
That had all the tanks and the people blown in half. And
it's the same as my miniature love of miniatures now. It's exactly the same, except this was military and there was melted bloody men in the mud.
Yeah, it was fun.
And the mud That's was made real. Out of tile grout.
Or paintings or any artistic thing. And the last year you said, how long am I going to have to compete with these kids? I want to compete with adults.
No, yeah. I didn't. I felt terrible, though, because
I
drew like Pee Wee Herman or a fence post or something. Those are two things. Those aren't random. And I got best in show. And this guy had spent his last twilight years carving a fucking rocking chair. And he's like, this has got to win. It's my last chance. And then my shitty pencil drawing of Pee Wee Herman. Oh, that poor old guy. I did not like that feeling.
But Chris, that's the county fair is a totally psychological game. You have to get in there and you have to beat people. We're like face to face. You have to beat them as people. So
did you ever compete in the fair circuit?
I competed. Yes. Cause I was in 4-H as I've told you many times.
Yes.
And so we competed. I showed sheep at the fair, which was a nightmare. Pictures of that as well. And we took a class that was something, it was basically kind of a home ec style 4-H class that we took, and we competed. This was the hilarious one. We competed by setting up place settings And everyone brought this a place setting, and you had to do it, set it a certain way. And it had to have salad fork, regular fork, butter knife, regular knife, two plates. There was like all these rules. So you knew exactly how to make a perfect place setting, but then you could get decorative and thematic, and you could like totally trick it out however you wanted.
I have a feeling. Did you remember those? They're like newsprint. It's like paper mache, but you, those napkin rings that are handmade.
Yep.
Those that you paint them, and that just looks like taffy from a theater.
Right.
Yeah.
Little cylinder.
Napkin rings were a big part of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And wow. I think I got second place for that, and I was very proud because I just used my mom's dishes and placemats. I didn't like. There were some people who's like it, their mom went in and basically did it for them in front of everyone, and it was like crazy and themed out. So
yeah,
I felt proud. I felt a lot of pride.
I always got a good best design of a Pinewood Derby car in Scouts.
Nice.
I think Dad did most of the woodworking. Until now, I was proud of that. It was mostly Dad.
It's teamwork.
Yeah. Plus, you got to hide weight in the wheels. No, I never cheated.
All right. Should we do another question?
Yeah, let's do another question.
Let's do it.
All right. This is from Liz Khalifa. If you could plan a parade to celebrate something or someone, what would it be?
Oh, that's a great question.
A parade planning.
I love a parade.
You do love a parade.
I love a parade.
What is it the lights and shows and dance?
I want like a new chief executive.
Oh, yeah. That'd be, yeah. That's Dad's answer. A parade celebrating
a new chief executive.
Oh, yes. God, yeah. Please. Good one.
Just about anybody.
There's no one or any. There's no one my dad talks about more than Mr. Trump.
Yeah. You should call my dad. You're very simpatico. The two Jims.
What do you think of the guy? Do you think he's doing a good job, Dad?
He scares me. He scares me.
Yeah, he's scary.
He scares a lot of people.
Yeah.
I would have a parade celebrating. Well, my favorite parade float ever was these bulldogs that would ride down. It was at the Rose Bowl parade, and all the other floats paled in comparison. It was these dogs that would get on a conveyor belt, jump on little snowboards, and slide down on fake snow. And I interviewed the dogs. Well, I just jokingly did, but I was around these dogs at Dick Van Patten's Natural Balance Food Factory.
Wow.
And and I was like, can I please?
Name dropper.
Yeah, I do drop a lot of names. Dick Van Patten. Anyone ever hear of him?
And you dropped it right to your dad, like almost confrontationally, like get Dick Van Patten, Dad.
We've already established that I've only partially earned his respect. I thought Dick Van Patten would pull me.
That'll
over.
Put you over the top. That's the name drop that gets you there.
I dress like a mailman, and I let these. I pretended they were chasing me down the thing. I thought that'd be funny.
Eight is enough.
Yes.
I may have said that
eight
joke.
Eight is plenty.
There's like eight dogs on the float. I know I said that joke. Nice. I want to do a parade about those dogs. I love.
All right. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Hey, I have a question. Why do you have the small room? This other room was way bigger. How come you weren't in there?
Why did... That's a good question. I guess
this is going nowhere.
I didn't like
everything was going along fine.
Everything was
and then
fine.
He started asking about rooms.
Yeah. Then my dad's like, "Hey,
Jesus,
why'd you choose this room over the other?" Oh, he's having an episode. There was less windows, and I wanted to sleep in.
Guys, we can talk about this during the technical meeting after we record, and we're going to go over everything we screwed up. Don't worry. We have a chance to do this again.
This goes through a laborious editing process.
The post-production on this thing.
The podcast was 9 minutes long.
I want to answer, but this is kind of corny of me, but I mean it. My hometown of Petaluma, California has the Butter and Eggs Day Parade every year. I think they do it in March or April. And it is the perfect parade. It's small town. My dad used to joke that he used to pretend like his bit was that he hated the parade. And he'd always go, that thing, anyone could be in that thing. I could jump up and walk behind some people because it's like just small town enough where it's like the 4-H club and then like you know,
Susie's running for clerk and recorder.
Exactly. Like the perfect kind of but it's hilarious. And everyone gets really excited. And the little kids get so excited to like have candy thrown at them or whatever. It's just the most charming day. You know?
I miss things like we had the monarch butterfly thing.
Oh, right?
Pacific Grove. Yeah.
Grove. Yeah.
Oh, you can find that, Karen, here. Three times a year.
Yeah, parades like
those
that.
Those kinds of parades? But are do you, I mean, they're not doing them in...
Hey, kid, how about a butterscotch in your eye?
Yeah. This is what the parade's all about. Look at him crying.
Cellophane injuries on children all day.
No, not now. Missoula's doing, even though the numbers in Montana are pretty low, there's still plexiglass everywhere and you can't go indoors. Missoula's a liberal town, so since it's become this political choice whether or not to wear a mask.
Portland East. Is that what they say?
They call Missoula nice. Portland East.
That's funny.
It's pretty... People here are following the rules. I'm proud of it. Yeah.
Should we do one last question?
Yeah, one last question.
This is from Family Hothead. What's the worst sunburn y'all ever had?
Ooh.
I like the y'all. boy. There has been times where I had to lay in bed and all my skin was peeling off, but I can't. I guess I'll just give you that I've had second degree sunburns before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're a dark person. You don't get sunburn as much.
Well, you haven't seen my thighs. And I'm going to keep it that way, Father.
When I was in the Army, if you got a sunburn and couldn't show up in the morning, where they all stand in line, that was Article 15. You were prosecuted.
Whoa.
Well, did you that were happen punished. To you? Prosecuted sounds a little strong. You were punished.
Mm. Mm.
But they decide without a jury that you have to go...
Yeah.
Be in the kitchen peeling
potatoes.
So
everybody that got a sunburn had these heavy clothes full of starch dragging on their shoulders. So I guess that would be the worst thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's the punishment right there.
When's your worst sunburn? Your fair skin.
Well, I think it was probably, I was probably in like 13 or probably, and it was at Blue Lake, which is where we used to go on vacation every summer, and we are all laying out on a float. And I just kind of pretended it didn't matter that I wasn't putting on any sunblock, even though we'd always gotten sunburn. And my dad was like a very early adapter of sunblock and always used it because he was a redhead. And I just got like completely scorched in that way where you can't, when you go to bed, you can't, there's no direction to lay that isn't horrible. And then I, after that, started wearing sunblock like religiously, and then, you know, it's perfect. A perfect transition into my goth phase.
Yes, yes. Around 18.
Keeping it pale for the last 20, 30 years. Just for style.
Yeah, it's hard. When you have a rebellious phase, you don't want to practice it with sunscreen.
It's got to be itself.
Yeah.
All right. Well, those were good Q&A questions.
They were. That was a nice way to wrap up this talk concert.
Hey, thanks for including me. Great to see you, girlfriend.
Great to see you, too. That was hilarious.
Girlfriend? Usually.
It's so great to
see queen.
You. Yeah, I love it. Usually.
No, it was great to meet you, Jim. It's been so long. We've talked about you so much on the show. I feel like I do know you. So it's really nice to see you and say hi to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, great. It was awesome.
Hit the bricks.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
Thank you, Daddy. I'll take. Let me get.
Oh. Bye. Bye.
Wow, we did a long episode.
Yeah, I know. This was long.
It's okay.
This was great.
It's long and good.
It's how nice to meet your dad and get to talk to him and have him tell dad stories.
I was really excited.
That's my favorite.
I was really excited for you to meet him. Yeah.
He's great. Yeah. He's so great.
Yeah.
Also, when he did the radio voice for 1 second, that was really impressive. It was like classic radio voice.
Oh, even when I was a kid, I thought he sounded like a news person. Yeah,
he does.
Yeah. Whereas I have a version of it, but it's kind of nasally and Muppety, but his is full on broadcast.
Yeah.
Ted Donaldson.
It felt like he was breaking in with the weather. It was really exciting. Yeah, I mean,
when I was, yeah.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Thank you.
Yes.
Well, cool. That was a fun episode. It's good to see you, friend.
It's great to see you, too. I'm so glad you're in Montana and with family and, you know, your people.
And I'm going to go to the lake again this weekend.
Great.
But yeah, thank you for giving me permission to be here a month. I think I'm going to do it.
That month. Absolutely.
Maybe I'll.
Yes, we'll do a part two. And you can change all the paintings in the background.
Okay.
The next time you have it. Or go into the other room.
Yeah.
Next time.
He was just asking this was my bedroom. Why did I choose it? And I'm afraid it was because the windows, it's like, oh, do I want to have the blinding sunlight wake me up when my first class is at noon? That kind of thing. And I was an alcoholic, probably.
Oh, well, it works.
It does work for me.
It works for teens.
No, I'm kidding.
Can't deny it.
I wasn't. Normal college partying.
Sure.
Yes.
Absolutely, Chris. Certainly, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Karen.
Absolutely. Thank you. That's great.
You've all been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYN.
A-R!
Do the screaming.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris.